Welcome back to Consider This with me, Melissa Idris and Sharad Kutin. We're chatting tonight to Zaki Zainuddin. He's a water quality and modelling specialist, as well as SPR Pakaran, president of our Association of Water and Energy Research Malaysia. Sharad, you had a question.
Yeah, you know, Zaki, you mentioned the question of water being under state control. Mm. And, you know, in many areas of Malaysian life, the federal structures that exist sometimes militate against the best possible solution. We have to deal with states. Ecosystems go beyond state boundaries. Mm. If we didn't have a federal system, if we in fact had a centralized water management system, would that be better?
I don't think that the states will give up their right to a water resource. So
okay,
easily.
But if you were God and you could take it away from them without them complaining, would that be a solution? I'm just trying to think kind of hypothetically.
Some of the state agencies also seek my opinion, and I sense some trepidation going down that road from on their part. Mm. So for me, I think what's more critical is, I mean, we've talked about this concept of integrated river basin management, whereby you get everybody to work together, basically incoherent with one another. But integrated river basin management is the way to go, but to materialize that, you know, I'm not sure whether that's going to happen or not. So for me, specifically, what I like to talk about is I like to talk about setting KPIs and targets right away.
Okay, just hold that thought. Mm. Pierre Parker, what do you think? Would a federal agency be better?
Well, if you look at the system, when the British gave independence, they gave the rights to the states, you see. And we went through this learning process, and we learned that during this period after independence, there was three times attempt to remove states' water power. The first two times failed. The third time, we only agreed for Peninsula and Labuan to remove treatment and supply. States do not want to give water resource back to federal. And almost 6-7 years ago, we did a survey. We actually followed Department of Statistics sampling. We asked the same question to the public. Mm. Surprisingly, more than 70% actually agreed. If states fail to take care of water resources, then we can give it to the federal. And the only way we see it forward is that to call a referendum. I mean, if they can do for Scottish independence and Brexit, we are following the same system, you see. So we can actually call for a referendum, let the people decide.
On water resources and
yes,
who gets
because
to manage
that,
it.
That is something that is linked to them and it's their right. They should decide who should manage it. If state fail to do that, then you have to surrender. And this is the same message, there's actually Water Resource Steering Committee, which sits for the Cabinet Committee, the chair by the PM. Mm-hmm. So we are a member of the Steering Committee. This is the same message I've passed to all the states. If you fail, people are ready to remove your power.
Wow. Okay, and speaking about failing in last week's incident, I want to know where we can move forward from here, right? So it's unlikely that we'll have a referendum next week. Mm. How do we think through this incident to ensure that that kind of water supply disruption doesn't happen again, affecting so many households? What did we learn from a week and a half ago, Piera?
Well, if we look at this whole situation, especially in Klang Valley, because the population density is high. Mm. It's not that in other states there's no pollution. Like in Para, this whole treatment plant shut down because of arsenic pollution when there was insinuation that it may be related to a mining activity. So the leadership is trying to protect that. But by right, you're supposed to do sampling and you basically can link whether it's from mining or not. If it doesn't exist and after mining it exists, there might be some link. That's how nature works, you see. So back to here in Klang Valley, so we have these three rivers that is always impacted, Sungai Selangor, because that produces almost 60% of raw water for Klang Valley, then Langat. Langat is basically giving us problem because of dry season. When there's low dilution factor, you have ammonia spiking. Semenye, the incidence was mixed. There was a breach in the HDPE of a landfill where it leaked to the river. Then we also had incident of people using sewerage infrastructure to pollute, and also ammonia incidents. So these three rivers actually give impact. So this is where our main issue is. So rather than firefighting, look at the sources of problem. And you know, basically we prepare, especially Sungai Selangor. We know that gives the biggest impact. So that's where the whole issue is, because when we designed, we wanted Langat to come in to balance up, because we know we put all the eggs in one basket. But that delay is actually causing this issue.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, Zaki, in terms of what we see happening globally in water management, how much is our system, you know, geared towards the best practices, using, you know, IT and monitoring systems? I believe that you can even take samples of chemicals from each of all the factories along the route. Mm. And so when some pollution happens, you immediately know the source or potential sources. Are we doing any of that sort of thing?
Yes, we are. Actually, we have water monitoring comes, in terms of water quality monitoring, comes under the Environmental Quality Monitoring Program that's executed by the DOE. We have about 1,300 over river monitoring stations all over the country. But I think the thing that we have to appreciate and we be clear, what we're doing now is we're doing river water quality monitoring. Pollution detection is another issue. That's another matter.
What's the difference?
Water quality monitoring is schedule monitoring. Schedule monitoring, basically, you have a schedule and you monitor every 2 months, 1, 3 months, 1, and whatnot. There may or may not be an incident during that period. What we are not doing now is we're not doing pollution monitoring. Okay. Pollution monitoring to detect incidences of pollution. So maybe that's something that we need to look into as an early warning system to prevent this kind of thing. But having said that, if I may add to just now on the, I think the solution lies in more in better catchment management. That's an issue. Prevention. What I think the takeaway lesson from last week is that prevention is better than cure, and we must have the wisdom and foresight to realize that with development comes pollution, and rest assured that these new sources will continue to come in into the catchments.
Okay, so how do we balance that? With development comes pollution. So what is it that we need to do? Do we just need to have better waste management, pollution management? I mean, it's inevitable that there will be some kind of waste, industrial waste, waste from development. But how do we manage that so that it doesn't affect our water supply, water quality? Do you want to finish, Zaki?
For me, I think what we need to do now is, as I said, we have to realize that catchment development is continuous, it's not static, it's ongoing, okay? So we have to realize that we can deal with this one particular plant at this moment in time, but for all you know, in the coming months, there'll be 10 new plants coming in. So we have to have the wisdom and foresight to realize that. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to sort of halt these high-risk kind of establishments from setting up shop upstream of water intake points.
So licensing, approval, exactly, all of that comes
exactly
into play.
That comes into
Do you have anything
play.
To add?
Well, on this issue, I think we have raised to the government. In fact, last week we've sent a letter to the Prime Minister and all the ministers. The first news that we got that the investigation now is working with few agencies. Yeah, that's the good news. That we get the army to come in, the police, the biosecurity. So I think it was just announced today. So that's a good news for us, because we have been doing environmental investigation. Now it's going to more criminal and the safety aspect of our water security. So that gives a bigger scope of work. Now, on the other side that we actually propose, first, we need database. We need database of chemicals that are moving around in our country. We need to record that. The second part we have suggested was, now DOE must understand that the local authority officers, they are not environmental officers. So you need to work with them, train them, to actually find out, link your chemical database to see where all of them are operating, legal, illegal, you know. So once you have that database, the third part of it is you move along how to improve your wastewater discharge. Now, I think Dr. Zaki has already touched on, you know, your pollution will always happen, whether you like it or not, because of dilution factor. Because all the wastewater that is produced, whether by domestic or the business sector, goes into the drainage and goes to the river and end of the day to the sea. Because we need to dilute it. This is how we assume that the nature will take care. But when the loading increases, you see, when you pollute more and more because of population density increase and the urbanization now is more than 75%, you see, so that gives load to certain rivers. And when you have illegal activities, and it just gets bad. So this is where we work backward. We actually can do a pollution reversal. It's just that Are we geared towards that, or we have different priorities, and you know, okay. politics of water has become a totally different field. I think there can be a lot of PhD done on this.
A lot of research done. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. We'll come back with more on Consider This.